If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew 8 and verse 23. I just want to say that this morning. I want to say this morning. Listen to me, church. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You hear what I'm saying? God is in control. He's going to work it out. And you see what the monitor says right there? It says, no room for fear. That's how we got to live, guys. Now, I know we don't do it perfectly. I certainly don't do it perfectly. But I just want to remind you guys this morning, amen, that we need to push this fear away. Amen. When we look at what's going on in the news and what's going on in our lives, there's this humongous opportunity for a spirit of fear to come into our homes, into our hearts. Amen. That's not productive for a Christian. Amen. We want to be aware of what's going on around us. Okay, but we don't need anxiety or be full of fear about the things that we can't control. Amen. Because we belong to the Most High God. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? I know a lot of people are struggling with a lot of crazy things right now. I'm going through a lot of stuff myself. But you know what? We have to rebuke the fear. We have to stand on the Word of God and understand that God's going to work it out. Amen? And the whole fear thing is one of Satan's big arrows. It's one of his big tools. He loves to give God's children a spirit of fear. He wants us to be freaking out. Amen? He loves that, Lord says. You know? And then what is... When do we fear? When we think about the future, how is this going to work out? Well, then that fear is right there. You know what I mean? Or when is this trial that I'm in, when is it going to end? You know? Here's the thing, Caleb. I think that me personally, and probably you guys do, that we can handle our trials a lot better if when we started, we knew exactly when these things were going to end. Because then we can build ourselves up just like when you were in school. You're like, one more day, I'm out for the weekend. Woo! But it doesn't work that way. God's not super receptive to that when you say, God, when exactly is this going to be? What are we doing? That's part of the training for reigning right there. We have to put it all in His hands, amen? We have to trust in Him. Are y'all with me this morning? Because I know it's crazy, and I wish we could all just have a perfect day and wouldn't have to worry about anything. But see, here's the thing. We can have an awesome day, and we don't have to be full of fear, and we don't have to be anxious. You know what I mean? Because the Bible tells us, hey, give me your fears, give me your troubles, give me your anxieties. Amen? So we get anxious, we get full of fear when we think about tomorrow. We think about the past, we don't get fearful. It's already happened. Now, there's regrets and plenty back there for a lot of us. There's stuff that hurts when we think about it. Amen? But the big thing is when we think about, how is this going to end? You know, is this, am I going to be able to keep my head above water through this whole thing? Is this the end of me? Are y'all with me? Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that this morning. Did everyone turn to Matthew 8 and 23? Beautiful little story here. God is so good. He is so faithful. He's got a plan for me. Amen. So we have this story right here. Jesus has been doing some hardcore ministry, some awesome miracles. He's been delivering the word. He's been hanging out with the disciples. And the disciples, this core group, have seen some amazing things happen. Are you with me this morning? And so Jesus, he gets physically tired. Who in here has a problem with Jesus getting physically tired? Nobody. You know what, guys? If the Son of God can get tired and wore out, then you know it's okay if you get a little tired sometimes. That's completely cool. Amen. What I'm trying to say is sometimes, and this isn't the message, but this is for somebody, you know, sometimes you just have to take a chill, man. You have to relax a little bit, recuperate, and recharge that battery. Amen. Some stuff can wait till the next day. I mean, Jesus, in this story right here, he says, hey, you know what? Let's get one of these boats, and let's go to the other side, man. I need to be away from people for a little while. I need to relax. I need to take a nap. Okay? So, all God's people, is it okay to take a nap on Sundays after church? Can I get everybody to agree that you will not call me from the hours of... It's okay. Call me, because I'm going to silence everyone. That's all. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so anyway, listen. Jesus, 100% God, also 100% man. That human part of Jesus got wore out, got tired. Amen. So he says, let's get in this boat. Let's go to the other side. Amen. Y'all with me? And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That is our job right there. Remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Lord is our shepherd. Amen. And the sheep follow the shepherd. Okay, so wherever the Lord is leading us, let's be obedient to that. Are you with me this morning? You exist to follow the Lord. You exist to give Him glory. And we can save ourselves from a lot of problems, not all our trials, not by any stretch of the imagination, but you can save yourself from the unnecessary, painful consequences if we follow the Lord, if we follow what this new book says, if we do what He says in this book, we can save ourselves from a lot of pain. Amen? We don't do that perfectly. I certainly don't do that perfectly. Amen? But as Christians, as people that are saved, we have to increasingly do that. And when we realize, hey, I have strayed, I have erred, I went over here when the shepherd was saying, hey, we're going this way. That's when we realize, hey, man, you know what? I need to repent, regroup, and I start over again. Amen? And he's ready to pick it up where you left off. Amen? He doesn't leave you when you make a mistake. He loves you just as much. Raise your hand if you kick your children out of the family when they do something really stupid. If you really did that, don't raise your hand. We should talk about that in private later. Sister Claudia will be available for that. Okay. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. That's our job. We follow the Lord. And behold, there arose a great storm. Now, isn't that crazy? And isn't that just horrible? But isn't that really just like life? You can be doing everything you know to do, be following this good book, trying to be the best Christian you can possibly be, and then out of nowhere comes that crazy catastrophe. Out of nowhere. Last week we talked about bracing for impact. Be on guard. Realize Satan's going to take every opportunity he can to knock you down. Amen? When you're in the middle of a trial, he doesn't back up and say, oh, okay, Bobby Jean Jordan, she's got it pretty bad right now. Her hands are full. I'm just going to give her a break. He doesn't do that, man. He gets all happy. He starts rubbing his fingers. He loves that job, man. He wants to just take you out. Okay. But see, here's the thing. No matter how much you prepare yourself, amen, in this world, we can still and will get blindsided. You know what I mean? Things will happen. Wow, where did that? I didn't see that coming. Wow. What do I do? I'm going to trust in the Most High God. I'm going to be obedient to what this word says because he's telling me right here that storms will come out of nowhere, bad storms will come out of nowhere, but I will get through these storms. Amen? And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being swamped. That's bad news right here. I haven't been on a lot of boats. I have never been a sailor, merchant marine, nothing like that. But I do know this much about being on boats, man. Water's coming in that boat. That's like the exact opposite of what you want to happen. You know what I mean? So when you're on the Sea of Galilee, which was prone to these crazy storms that would come out of nowhere, okay, and out of the 12, we know that there's at least 4. Somebody Google that real fast. Because I don't want to be wrong. Don't find out I'm wrong now. I guess it would be best if it didn't mind. At least 4, you hear me, Kevin? 4 experienced fishermen who spent a lot of time on boats. All these guys were freaking out when the storm came up. This was no little storm. This wasn't something that they were going to be able to get out of easily. This was like, Peter was like, hey, dude, John, chill out, bro. Bend down this road before. Just relax. Get the little cup right there and start hitting the water out there. Calm down. Main thing, you got to remain calm, James. We'll get through this. Nobody was doing that. They're all freaking out. This is bad. Are y'all with me? That's how life gets sometimes. I didn't ask for this. I was just going to work. Boom. There it is. My life's changed forever. But you know what? God is in the boat. You're in the boat with Jesus. Can I get a witness? Storm on the sea so that the boat was being swamped. Water's rushing in by the waves. But he was asleep. You hear that? He was asleep. Jesus was asleep. Now, I'm not going to act like you didn't hear about this in Sunday school a long time ago. Okay? But this is a big deal, man. Because a lot of times we can feel could totally destroy me? What are you doing? Are you sleeping? And we can get like that sometimes. But what we have to understand, and maybe this will help us out a little bit, is that Jesus, when he said, hey, I'm kind of tired. I need to get alone for a little while. I want you guys to go with me. You know the Son of God, the second man of the Trinity, he absolutely positively knew a crazy hurricane type storm was about to hit that ocean, was about to hit that massive place. You know what I'm talking about? He knew that was coming. So whatever situation you're in right now, however hopeless it seems, how you don't know how it's going to end or what's going to happen, listen, God knew it was coming way before you were ever born. And he's not going to leave you. He's going to get you through this. He's going to get me through it. He's going to get us all through it. Amen? And it gets crazy. And it looks like it's a losing situation sometimes. But the Son of God was at such peace, knowing what was about to happen, that he was down there sawing logs. Everybody's freaking out. But he's sleeping. I like that picture. I like to think about that. I like to think about Jesus in perfect peace during the storms of my life. Because he knows how these things are going to work out. You know what I mean? He's not wringing his hands. He's not freaking out. He's not stressed out because we're stressed out. He's concerned about us. And he's like, listen, hold on to these promises. Amen. Know that I'm with you. Amen. And behold, there was a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Okay, now we know as Christians, let's do a little recap. You know that life is hard sometimes. That's part of being a Christian. Amen? John 14, 15, is everybody? Yeah, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. Amen? The Lord says, hey, I need you to follow. And when we love the Lord, we want to obey his commands. We don't want to hurt him. We don't do it perfectly. Are you with me this morning? But we want to be obedient to the Lord. But we have to understand this, and I think we got it. Okay, that just because I'm sold out and devoted to the Lord and trying to do the best I can and yield to the Holy Spirit, storms do come. Storms do arise and they do blindside me sometimes. You know what I mean? That's part of being Christian. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. In fact, everyone, raise your hands if you're part of everyone. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, is that you? In Christ Jesus, because there's no other way to live a godly life. But the only way you can live a godly life is through Christ Jesus. The only way you can live a godly life. Let me say it like this. Caleb, we can't do it on our own. Okay? We can try and try and try and try and get off the dope or whatever, or you know, stay away from the pornography. You can, whatever that carrot is, that thing is, that Satan knows that it's so easy for you to get into. I'm not picking on Caleb. I don't know what's going on now. I'm so sorry, but I'm just I wasn't trying to tell everybody, dude. I get nervous, man. No, God is good. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Look. You cannot live the godly life. You cannot live a holy life on your own. It is absolutely impossible, and that's where a lot of the fear comes in. That's where a lot of the frustration comes in, because we try and go it alone. Amen? Instead of yielding to that Holy Spirit, which you were sealed with, amen? You know, with me? We go it alone, and then we get frustrated because we're doing the things we shouldn't do. Amen? But if we want to live a godly life, it's got to be through Christ Jesus. It's got to be through that Holy Spirit, because that's where we get equipped. That's where the strength comes from. Amen? So anyways, that was for me. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay? That's all. If we love Jesus, life's going to be hard. Okay? But guess what? To the ungodly, to the unsaved, life is hard too. You know what I mean? But the Lord allows us to go through these things for that reason. Amen? For our growth and his glory. Amen? And you can be like, well, Paul, that's good, but no. I've been straddling the fence, man. I want to give God glory. I want to be that sold out guy that's following Jesus wherever he goes. But sometimes, here lately, I haven't really been that guy. You know what I mean? In my life, I've been absolutely crazy. You know what I mean? Listen, just because you live that godly life doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Amen? But when we become disobedient, or we do those things we shouldn't do, let's remember, God doesn't keep you out of the family, but He is devoted to raising some mature children. Amen? So some of the times we deal with stuff, and I know that I deal with painful consequences of my actions all the time. Because yes, I am forgiven of my sins. I realize, hey, I made a mistake. I'm going to give this to the Lord, and I repent from it. There's often I have to deal with painful consequences because of that. And the Lord warns me over and over again, because He loves me, don't do this. This is a bad way that I don't want you to get hurt. You choose to sin, you choose to hurt yourself and those around you. Amen? Doesn't feel good, but sometimes we find ourselves in that situation. Okay? But guess what? God's still with you. Amen? There might be some things that you need to deal with, that you need to turn from, that you might need to repent from, but God's ready to pick you back up again. Amen? Someone said, can you back that up? Yeah, I can do that. Alright, it's on your monitor, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Our fathers, raise your hand if you ever had a father. Some people just are either not in it. Okay. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. That's true. That's true. There's a lot of factors into that. Human correction. You know what I mean? I can't tell you how many times after I've corrected one of my children, I've looked back and said, I could have done that better. That was, oh man, I feel so horrible about that. Well, I'm prideful, so I'm not going to tell them. You know? No, I'm crying. But I get like that all the time. Why, Paul? Because I'm not perfect. But you're a preacher. But I'm not perfect. But you're a Christian. But I'm not perfect. You know what I mean? Did you see? No one thinks I'm perfect except for Paul. Amen? And no one thinks I'm handsome except for Paul. Because she tells me every day. Here's the deal. Here's the 411. Here's the skinny. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. Our parents disciplined us, but they didn't do it perfectly. There's a lot of factors in that. Okay, like when I'm tired, I might be a little harsher than if I ain't tired. You know, or heaven forbid, I get embarrassed by one of my kids, it might be real bad on them. I don't like that. I'm not. Boy, put that up in the store. You know what I mean? Listen, we're not perfect people. We accept the perfect gift. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying right here. Hey, you know about correction, then God will correct you a lot better than your earthly father. Even though your earthly father did the best job he knew how to do with what he was given. Amen? He wasn't a perfect man. I am a perfect God, and I love you, and it does not feel good. I get it. I understand it. But here we go. Let's get us through this situation, because I want to mature you. I want to get you to the other side. Amen? You with me so far? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us. God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. You see that? He's devoted to making us that person He needs us to be. So sometimes we're in the wind and the waves, you know what I mean? And it never feels good. But God is right there and says, this is for a bigger reason than what you would sign up for, amen? But this is what we have to do right now. Amen? And I'm going to go ahead and throw in verse 11 in there, no extra charge. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Does it? It never does, man. No one's ever like, man, I'm so glad I got reprimanded at work. Oh, man, I feel so good about getting in trouble today. Love it. Love it. Hey, baby, I got in trouble again at work. Now, we don't like that. Amen? It doesn't feel good, but God is doing something. Amen? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. You see that? God's working on something, man. Raise your hand if you can handle a little more peace. And now we're waking up a little bit. We need that peace. You know what I mean? But it don't come easy. Amen? We have to be trained by the furnace of affliction. God's number one. Listen, the big way that He trained you is through that furnace of affliction. Okay? Where Satan just wants to destroy you, where we feel the effects of sin all around us, bad things happen to good people, God says, this is going to be used for something awesome in your life. I'm not going to hold it back because I want you to go through this. I love you. You don't understand what's going on right now, but I love you. I'm in the boat with you, man. Just relax. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained. Sometimes we're going through the trials, going through the struggles, and we ain't been trained at all. We're like, God, who are you messing with me? Well, I don't get it. I don't understand everybody. Life's better than mine. You don't know how. And that's not the case. You just see out of these eyes. You know, something really freaking good. Anyway. Tell the truth, right? Is everyone doing all right? Let's go to the next slide. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. Verse 25. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." That's pretty hardcore. Now, that translates to, "Wake us, Lord, we are perishing." Yeah. Yes, that's it. That is it. That's the point I'm trying to make. It ain't hard. What he is really saying is, this is how they feel right now. We're dying. We are dying. I'm a fisherman. I know how this thing works. We're dead. In a couple minutes, thought you might want to know that. This ain't looking good. They're not like, "Oh, this is horrible. My clothes are going to get wet. I just got these sandals." They're not saying that. This is not a bad day. They think this is the end. You hear what I'm saying? They're scared. Yes. Right. I'm feeling good, man. I like it. It's like playing catch. I love it. Wow. That is good. So they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." Now, when the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story is told through that. And some people say, well, one of my beefs with your little Christian thing there is Matthew will say this, and then Mark will say this, and then Luke will say this. Well, okay. They're saying the same thing. They're saying it from their angle. But it's the same. It's like, for instance, Brother Donnie's view right now is different than my view. But we're in the same place. We're seeing the same thing, but at a different angle. You see what I'm saying? So this is what Mark says about it. In other words, some people be like, well, this gospel said there was a bunch of people on the cross with Jesus. Well, that's true. Well, one gospel says there was only two. It doesn't say there was only two. They just focus on two. You know what I mean? Okay, so anyways, next time that atheist is messing with you, just send Sister Rachel. Okay. Man, you do not want to be good. Okay, anyways, Mark 4 and verse 38 coming at you. Same story as in Matthew, just Mark's angle on it. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. Okay, so now we know where he was sleeping, yeah? On a cushion. Oh, Mark had a cushion. Okay. On a cushion, the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Same thing, same excitement. But they're saying, "Don't you care? Don't you care if I'm drowning over here? Have you ever felt like that? I am drowning. And don't you even care?" He absolutely positively cares what you're going through. He's not going to give you more than you can handle, except you can't handle it at all. You have to lean on him. He makes the crooked places straight. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, oh, you of little faith?" Isn't that good? I love you. I love it. Love it. Happens. Happens all the time. But what are we going to do when we get rebuked, right? Because he's training us. Amen? Y'all with me this morning? But see, the beautiful thing about this rebuke, and let's be clear, that is a rebuke. Oh, you of little faith. of a loving statement, you know? Like, you don't get it to hell. It's a sweet thing, but it's a sincere thing, and it's a truthful thing. Hey, guys, I'm not always going to be around, but I'm not going to leave you alone. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay, you will never be left as an orphan, but I need you to start getting this stuff. You've seen me do a lot of miracles. Okay? Just be calm. Understand that I'm in the boat. Well, you just said you're not always going to be in the boat. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to be inside you. So it's going to be okay, whatever you go through. Trust in me. You will never be disappointed if you trust in me. Even if things do not work out the way you think they have to happen, if you never saw this coming, and it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to, hey, God is still with you, and it's going to work out the best possible way. And he's still going to be God. He's not freaking out because he knows how this is going. So he says, you be cool, you be calm, you be collected, because people are counting on you. Amen? Is everyone all right? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. See, the cool thing that I really like about this, and the disciples, they get bad. They really do. And sometimes they're not bad, but we're not bad. You know, and this is pre-Holy Spirit disciples. You know what I mean? But man, they do the right thing. They do the right thing. They run to Jesus. They wake him up and say, I need you. I need you. So let's do that. Because you know what? Your storm may not physically die at that moment. You see what I'm saying? But there can be peace in your heart through this storm, knowing that, hey, God is with me and he is faithful. Amen? Listen, man, you can write through anything knowing that God is with me. He has allowed this. He knew that we were heading into a storm this morning. I didn't have a clue. I thought everything was going to be good. But God knew. And he doesn't leave me just because I get a flat tire and a bad part of town. Amen? All right. Let's go to the next slide. Now, one of the monsters with trials, I think one of the big monsters, one of the big pains of the trial is what we've already alluded to, is that we don't know when we're going to stop. You know, we don't know when we're going to do it. We don't know, but we do know, and this can give us peace, that we know that I will get through it. Amen? And God's grace is enough for me. Now, what we have to be aware of is, through these storms, what are we through these storms, man, we can trip up and start going the wrong way. We can get better and start doing things we don't need to do. Amen? I'm walking with the proof of it, man. But God has got us on this trial. He has allowed it. So let me be that obedient Christian. Amen? And let me have an awesome witness. Are y'all with me this morning? It's Matthew 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Is that true? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That is a true statement. You got enough to focus on right here, right now. Jesus is not saying don't plan ahead. He's not saying don't have a 401k or whatever you call it. You know, I need to find out what they're calling up. But anyways, none of these people. No, he's not saying don't plan ahead. He's just saying don't get stressed out. Don't get full of fear about things that you don't have any control over. You know, because you can ruin what you're supposed to be doing right now when people are counting on you, when people need you, because you're so full of anxiety about things you don't even know how they're going to work out. But you know God's in the boat with you. You know it's going to work out the way he needs it to work out. And I need to be obedient to what his word says so I don't make any ill-advised mistakes. Amen? So I need to focus on the here and now. Go with me. Today, there's enough trouble for today. Amen? So, one day at a time, for Jesus. That's what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Take it one day at a time and get through it one step at a time. You want to keep yourself from falling into that same sin over and over again? Take it 1 minute at a time at first. 5 minutes, a little later down the road. One day at a time. Hey, I had a good day today. I didn't drink the trippy drop. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have to do that. You know what I mean? Then eventually, you know, it gets easier and easier. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I focus one day at a time. Let me get through this day. I I'm talking about when you are up to your neck in the storm, in the trial, you don't know how you're going to survive, just know that you will survive and just take it minute by minute sometimes. Day by day. Let me get through this day focusing on you, doing what I have to do. Amen? Matthew 8:27. And the men marveled. Okay, so we're back at the storm. The men marveled. See, this is what I'm talking about. You go through the storm, you grow in relationship. They know more about Jesus than they did before they got in that boat. You know what I mean? They're growing in relationship. They're growing in maturity. Okay? And God's getting glory. Amen? Those disciples are going to remember this forever. It's in the book that we read. Amen? God is getting glory for this. We're getting growth for this. Sometimes we're going through the darkest parts in our life. God, why? Why? Are you asleep? Do you care that I'm perishing? I do. You don't get it. But you are going to, I'm allowing you to go through this. I need you to encourage someone else down the road. And you're like, that's a horrible idea. What? No, let somebody else go through it. And I'll bring them dinner or something. You know, my ministry is not so much the suffering through and being a living witness. I'm more like, hey, can I loan you like $5 for gas? Can I send my kid out to the mow your lawn? Fast and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, the persecuted church, Lord, that we just won't think about them 1 month or 1 weekend out of the year, but we will be devoted to praying for them, Lord. Thank you that you will give your persecuted Christians peace and strength and endurance and boldness to spread your gospel. Lord, meet their needs, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for blessing this group of people this morning, Lord. Thank you for touching their hearts, giving them encouragement, Lord. Let us lean on you. Let us trust in you. Lord, give us the strength to be what you called us to be. And let us love one another. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So listen, Wednesday nights we have, what's going on? Oh, we have the Bible study Wednesday nights. Right? Every age group, we've got something going on. Everybody, except we don't have child care at this moment on Wednesday nights. But we do have a lot of problems. It starts at 7-ish. Men's Bible study is Tuesday this week at 12:30. You don't want to miss out on that, so it's going to be a good time. Hey, you don't have to be a male.